I appreciate Pastor Stephen leading us in worship, and thank you for being the worship team today. My name is Blair Hayward. I serve here as senior pastor. It's my privilege to do so. So those of you who are guests, I also want to give my welcome to you today, too. Before I get into today's message, I want to share a spiritual lesson from yesterday's big game. There was a game on yesterday. So this is not about your team, okay, but it does apply to the team that you root for. So we're Michigan fans. So I was talking to my daughter, my youngest daughter, and she says, what does hail mean? I said, well, to hail something means, you know, like you're committed to it, you cheer it on. She said, we should only hail Jesus. How about that for a spiritual lesson? And so that actually applies to Ohio State fans too, not just Michigan fans. Okay, so take that lesson and apply it to your team, whoever that may be. So appreciate us being together today to hail Jesus, and we're going to look to his word now. You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. I'll meet you there in just a moment. Okay. Abib and Mamadou and Ablaya and Tarek and Isa and Seydou, along with 15 million others in Senegal, are in big trouble. They have a spiritual disease that is crippling to their soul, and if they were to die without the cure for this disease, they'll be forever separated from the Creator who loves them and sent his Son to die for them. What we found when we were visiting Senegal, we recently had a team in Senegal, is that there's many people there who, if they heard this good news message about the Lord Jesus Christ, many would accept. But in their culture, it's very, very, very difficult to hear about Jesus. Culture's 95% Muslim, less than 1% evangelical Christian. Now, if you were to drive around here in Findlay and in Northwest Ohio, you see many different churches, church buildings, which represent the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Very obvious, no matter where you go. But when we were in Senegal, we drove for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and miles and saw very, very few buildings where churches meet. And so there's a problem with an eternal consequence. And by the way, this problem just isn't in Senegal. It's throughout the entire world. But I want to ask you a very challenging question this morning. Many of you, which I'm thankful for, have thought about this question. It's on your minds, it's on your hearts. Many of you, maybe you've never thought about this question, but here it is. What are you going to do about this spiritual problem? All right, Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38 is our scripture today. This is about the Lord, and it's about his words. And so the scripture is projected so that we can all read the same translation in unison. So let's lift our voices and do that, and then we'll learn together. So here we go. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." All right, thank you for reading God's word together. So what can be done to get the cure for this spiritual disease to the people of Senegal? Well, we need people who are going to pray, people who are going to give, people who are going to send, and we need people who are going to go. And I am so proud of this church, proud in a good Christian sense, of what we have been able by God's grace to accomplish as an entire church body over this last year. So for those of you who are newer to our church, here's some background. Each year, our missions planning team, and by the way, they do a great job all throughout the year, they choose a mission project for us to give towards at Christmas time. And the thought behind this would be, can we sacrifice spending on ourselves and giving that funding towards a project to meet spiritual needs as well as to meet physical needs of people. And we've done it ever since 2011. So last Christmas, the project was to give towards the Jesus Film, which is a ministry of Crew. And the Jesus Film is translated in over 1,700 languages. It's a great way to get the gospel to people, especially who don't have the scriptures, either New Testament or an entire Bible, in their own language. And so they can see the gospel message dramatized before them from the Gospel of Luke in their own heart language. And so you see on the screen the results of last year's giving. So many gifts were given that we were able to fund an entire language in Cameroon, the Bobonki language. And one of the languages we were able to help finish off was the non-language. It's the one that looks like noon up there, N-O-O-N. We learned that it's pronounced non, in Senegal. And so a team recently went to Senegal to help show this film and to do other ministry. And you'll hear about that a little bit later. So one of the things that we did was pray and send and give. And a few of us had the privilege of going as representatives of the church. But we met beautiful Senegalese believers, who are on the ground sharing the gospel in their culture. People like Pascal and his wife, Aurélie, and their children, Lydia and Philip. Also people like Ahmed and Antoine and Numo and Mosa, people who are sharing the gospel and have hearts like we have for Jesus Christ. Now the picture on the screen, on the left, you'll see Aurélie. And that's Dick Cole from our church beside her. Aurélie had the privilege of being one of the coordinators to help record the Jesus Film in the non-language. On the right side is, I'm not sure what this woman's name is, but she was one who watched the first screening of the film because they have local believers who speak that language, test it out, and say, okay, that yes, that's how we would say it in the non-language. And so she was one of the first people to see the language, the film in that language. So, what else is I going to say about that? Oh, yes. Aurélie is the field director's wife. She's a field director in her own right, but Pascal and Aurélie. So we traveled around with Aurélie and Pascal in various ministry contexts. Okay. So more about that in a little bit. But today from this passage, first of all, there's an action that we are called to. We're called to take a gospel risk and follow Jesus into his harvest field. Okay? So I'm going to preach on this. We're going to hear from the team, and then I'm going to give us a challenge at the end. From this passage, we see that Jesus invites us to come along with him as he's traveling from village to town and city. He has his disciples with him. And as he's modeling God's heart for lost people, the disciples are picking that up because they're seeing it lived out before them. We read in this passage that Jesus was very active in ministry. If you look at verse 35, he was going, he was teaching, he was proclaiming, he was healing. And in verse 36, he was seeing the people. And so you see him traveling from village to village and doing ministry. When we were in Senegal, I thought about this passage, especially on the Tuesday, because on the Tuesday, we had a very busy ministry schedule. So here's what we did. In the morning, we helped to train two local leaders in some evangelism strategy. Then both those local leaders took us to visit a chief of a village because we needed his permission to be able to show the film in his village that week. And then in the afternoon, a portion of the team went to a different village to ask for permission from a different chief to see if we could show the film that particular night. While they were doing that, there was a group of us that went out to do some personal evangelism on the streets. Then later in the afternoon, about four of the team members went to a hospital to pray with one of the team leader's uncles who was in there. And then later, after supper, we all gathered together and we showed the Jesus film in the non-language to about 93 people. And so we got home, back to the guest house, I don't know, about 10:30, something like that. So long day. In various aspects of ministry, it reminded me of this passage. Jesus was going from village to village and doing all these different things, teaching and proclaiming the gospel and bringing healing. So it was really neat to participate with Christ in his type of ministry. So he invites us to be active in his harvest field. But also, you notice in verse 36 that Jesus has compassion on people. He sees the people. He has compassion. It means he's moved in his inward parts. His heart goes out to the people because, as the Holman Christian Standard Bible puts it, they were weary and worn out. And we saw that too. Especially if I think about shop owners, you know, putting in a long day of work and getting a meager pay for their goods and then having to get up every day and do it again. And they're like sheep without a shepherd, which is our greatest need. We need a spiritual shepherd for our souls. One of the things I noticed about Senegal is if you went to Senegal, as well as other countries, with earthly or worldly eyes, with a lot of sites are beautiful, but a lot of sites are a bit repulsive. Like, there's just, sometimes there's lots of garbage, and it's dirty, and there's half-finished buildings, and there's smells that waft. You'll get a beautiful smell of bread, and then you go up the street a little bit more, and you get the putrid smell of sewer, and it's all mixed in together. If you went to these places with worldly eyes, you would say, get me on a plane and take me back home. But like Jesus, we got to see past all of that and look right to the people, to the souls of people. So for instance, this picture, it's really dusty. This is one of the places where we showed the film. It's dusty, it's gray, and it's got a half-finished building off to the right. But did you notice in this picture, if you can see it clearly, there are 10 souls in this picture. 10 people who saw the film that night. They heard about Christ, and they heard about him in their own language, their own heart language, because our church banded together. And it means a lot to those people to be here, to hear of Christ. And so we see the people. Think about here in Findlay. Can we see the people? Look past the problems. Look past the very polished veneer. Might be the opposite problem here in the U.S. Look past that and look to the heart. What's going on? Are they reconciled with God through Christ? Okay. So I want you to hear more from our team about the Jesus-type ministry that we were privileged to be part of. So I'm going to ask the team to come on up. Dick Cole, John Seitz, John Jeter, and Ben Martin. And as they're coming, I'm just going to share a few of the basics of the trip. Okay. So our trip was November 1 through 11. So we've been home for 2 weeks now. Our work was to do evangelism training and show the Jesus film and to do evangelism on the streets. And we got to participate in all of that. Senegal is a country in Western Africa, and it's right on the coast. You can see a map here. And it's actually farther west than London, England, which I didn't know about that before, but there we go. And then we started out in a major city called Dakar, and then we traveled to a town that's pronounced Chez. It's spelled with a TH, but it's locally they call it Chez. And we went down to a town called Moore. We ended up back in Chez and then back in Dakar. We showed the Jesus film 4 times, 2 times in the Wolof language and 2 times in the non-language. In Senegal, many languages are spoken. It will make your head spin how many languages there are. Our team leader, if I heard him correctly, he said he speaks 12 languages. So you kind of grow up hearing different tribal languages. But the most common language is French. Most people will be able to at least understand French. Our food consists of lots of rice and chicken or beef, lots of bread, lots of pizza, believe it or not, and lots of fruit. So we were well taken care of as we traveled around. All right, let's hear from our team about different aspects of our trip. So we'll have John Jeter go first.
Good morning. I'd like to share with you an opportunity that we had to go out into the outskirts of a city there and evangelize with some folks. And I was with a 3-person team on this afternoon, one of which was our leader, Chelsea, from Jesus Film Project, and her husband. So during this afternoon, we were able to encounter 3 young men at the front of their house, actually the front of one of their houses and 2 of his friends. The leader was clearly a young man named Mamadou. And so one of the things we got to do was share a clip of the Jesus film with them on an electronic device. You know, we had these downloads, and it was very convenient to show them clips. This was the particular clip I showed Mamadou and his friends of the Good Samaritan. It was a clip from the film. And so after that, I got to ask them some questions. In fact, when we would encounter folks, we would tell them, can I show you a clip and then talk to you, ask you a few questions of a spiritual nature so that they understood, you know, what we were about, and there was no trickery or anything. And they were always very, if they had time, they were always very open to these conversations. And so I shared it with Mamadou and his friends in two different languages, actually, because they spoke their native tongue, their tribal tongue was in two different languages. So to get the full grasp, they wanted to hear it in their own tribal language. And then we had the conversation, and I was able to, from that, talk to them about their own experience, spiritual experiences in mind. They were Muslim. And then I got to share the four spiritual laws. If you're familiar with CRU or used to be Campus Crusade for Christ, you know the four spiritual laws. And this is an excerpt from that that tract, if you will, that I was actually able to share with them and actually leave with them in the end. And this shows, you know, this is toward the end, and you say, okay, here's two representations of a person's life. One has self on the life, where everything, you know, you direct your life. And then the other one on the right shows Christ on the throne, and where, you know, you're taking the lead from Christ, Jesus. And so I said, which of these best represents your life? And I'm talking to Mamadou, and he says, the one on the right, Jesus on the throne. And I was initially thrilled, but maybe skeptical. And so I dug in a little deeper and said, well, tell me about that. What do you mean, Jesus on your throne? And he went on to explain there's 300 great prophets, five greatest prophets, one of which is Jesus, the last of which was Muhammad. And so we have great respect for all the prophets, but especially those five. And Jesus would definitely be one of those that's on the throne of my life. And I would, you know, follow his guidance. And I said, well, can I explain to you, you know, how maybe that view differs from mine? And I was able to share with him how I believe that Jesus is more than a prophet. He was actually the Son of God, came, died on a cross for our sins. And so at this point, Mamadou kind of, he's been very cooperative. He remained very polite, but he seems perplexed, and he finally just said through the interpreter, why are you here? And I think it was because, you know, he's been agreeing with me. We're kind of in sync here, you know, and now we're not agreeing, you know, and he wanted to know why I was there to tell him that. And so I was able to share that, you know, for me, Jesus is my Savior, and it's made all the difference in my life. It's the gospel, the good news, and we, as a group, were wanting to share that with everybody that we could, including him and his friends. So, you know, I invited Mamadou to pray to receive Christ. He did not. He said no. But, you know, the thing that just blessed me was he heard the gospel. He heard the four points, the four spiritual laws. That's in his head now. And God will use that. I firmly believe it. Also, one thing that we learned from the national director is Muslims tend to need, and this is probably not unlike even us, but they know that it takes 10 encounters with the gospel on average, I guess, for a Muslim to come to faith in Christ. And so the way I saw it was, well, this was one of the 10. I'm not sure if it's the first or the third. I'm pretty sure it's the first, because I don't think they'd heard the gospel before. In fact, another encounter I had with a fellow, he said, this, you know, I was talking the difference between works and grace, and he said, this is the first time I've ever heard this, you know. So that was a real blessing. So I want to wrap up with two verses, if I could, that were very meaningful to me. I thought of these quite a bit, actually, before I went and then while I was there. And let's see if I can get to them. One is Romans 15:20, and you all are probably familiar with these, but Paul says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. And so that was real, as I was preparing to go, that was just part of my motivation. I wanted to go and tell people the gospel where they'd never heard it. And that's why that man that said, I've never heard this before, it kind of thrilled my heart, you know, because I got to have that experience. So that was very meaningful. And then another verse I wanted to share is out of 1 Chronicles. Let me see if I can get to that. Bear with me. Let me cheat. So First Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And I could have winged this, but I want you to hear the words carefully. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. You know, and I think it's very clear in the scripture that God wants representatives in heaven from all nations. I think we'd all agree with that. That's why Jesus says, go therefore to all nations. And that says here again, declare his glory among the nations. But what really struck me while I was there is his marvelous deeds among all people. Because you saw in Blair's clip, the non-language, I mean, that's 33,000 people. So now they've heard the gospel in their native tongue. And when they hear it in their native tongue, you can see it just opens things up. So this people group now has heard the gospel, or will have opportunity to hear the gospel. And that's just very meaningful to me. And I want to say thank you all, because you all made that possible. I mean, with your giving, not only this people group, but others as well. And so I think God is pleased with that. Thank you.
I got a lot to say. I'm going to talk fast, so listen fast. It didn't take me very long in Senegal to realize that God really just did not need me to micromanage his schedule, not with my prayers anyway. And it was evident from the beginning to the end that God was in charge. Point in case would be the first time we went to the non-village to talk with the chief. Wasn't going so well right off the bat. He really wasn't hip to have us show this movie, I don't think. Pastor Blair suggested that they show him a clip in his language. And when he saw that, like John said, everything changed. And he said, well, let me tell you, you can't do this tonight, but you come back in two more nights, and then we will have you do it, and I'll go talk to all the people, which is what he did. Now, my prayer would have been that he was going to let us do that night, but that's not the way God saw it. So a couple nights later, we've got it all set up. It's just starting to become dark, and so now somebody's got to get on that microphone and invite the people out, and that would be a fellow named Antoine, 26-year-old. This is the chief here. But Antoine, 26-year-old college student who led the charge, talking with the chief because he could speak non. And we're waiting and waiting and waiting for Antoine to start inviting the people out, but it doesn't happen. And finally, the chief picks up the microphone, and boisterously, he's inviting them out. 192 people come out, the whole village. See, God had his plan. It was different than our plan, my plan, but he had his plan, and it always worked. I'd like to say about Antoine, this 26-year-old, it was such a pleasure to be just even in his presence. He has such a heart for God. He is, if I had to give a title to him, I would call him fearless. He just wants to share the gospel with everyone, and I'd like to be more like him, I'll tell you that. He just did a wonderful, wonderful job. But I'll keep going here. The highlight for me of this trip happened on the second night of the showing. And there, like Pastor Blair said, there were 93 people there that night. And they stopped the film right before the crucifixion scene. And I was privileged to give my testimony, which is one of the reasons I wanted to go. I really was hopeful that I would be able to do that, and God let me do that, and I'll always be thankful for that. But I ended with, you know, I know if I die tonight that I'm going straight to heaven. And that's something that the Muslims don't know. They don't have assurance. They have to die, and then Allah decides if they're good enough or not. So that was a tremendous highlight for me. I would say 3 weeks or so before we left for the trip, I was in some pretty heavy prayer that a man of peace would reveal himself. And the very first night that we showed the film was at the bus stop. 26 people came forward and gave their contact information. And one of them was a guy named Hamidou. And Hamidou insisted to Pascal, the missionary that we partnered with there, he just insisted that Pascal would bring this movie to his neighborhood. And he wanted to go into his neighborhood first and invite all of the people out. The same thing the chief did. So I believe that we encountered two people of peace, and that was an answer to prayer. So God was just answering prayer all the way through from the beginning to the end. The last thing I want to say is that we were God's hands and feet on the ground in Senegal. But I believe that the reason that this mission trip was so successful was because you were the knees on the ground for God right here. It was your prayers that got us through, that helped all the way through. This was a physical trip. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of prayers on our end. I know there were a lot of prayers on your end. So I want you to know that we did everything we could do. And I believe you did everything you could do. And now God's going to do everything he can do. And an awful lot of unreached people got to hear the good news of Jesus Christ because of this group effort from this church. Thank you.
I don't have quite as much to say, but that's okay. I do believe God was there long before we got to Senegal. I know the first night we showed the film, it was at a bus stop, and I thought not very many people would show up because it's a bus stop. People come, people go. You're not going to stand and watch a two-hour film. But 120 people ended up staying, watching the film, and we got, 26 contacts. So that was really great to see that. But later on in the trip, it was the last night we were there. We decided to go down to the beach and talk to people down there. And one of the people I talked to, his name was Muhammad. And he was in his 20s. He was a Muslim. And he worked overseas, but he was the only provider for his family. And I showed him the film of The Catching of the Fish. And he said that he related to this film, and he felt like he wasn't providing enough for his family. And he, after a while and a bit of talking to him, he decided to accept Christ, which was a definite praise. And it just really spoke to me to see how much God was moving and to see how many people needed Christ. And I also want to thank all the church for your praying and your giving, and to also encourage you to get involved in missions if you're not, because I know definitely for me that it made me the happiest when I was serving Christ.
The thing that I was left with, I guess, if you move on to the one with the projector and stuff set up, this is in the, where he talked about the chief allowing us to come back on Thursday. This is in the village center there where we set up. And you see all the poles around the side that the screen fits on, and the speakers and the cables and the little desk and the amplifier and the projector, and we had to carry a generator and the cables and everything that with us. So every time we moved, we had to tear that down and set it back up. You can't see it real well in the picture, but if you look at the top corner, one speaker is pointed toward us and the other speaker is pointed toward the back. So if you go on to the next slide, what I was left with was this is in front. A lot of the people came out front, and sometimes they would bring benches or a chair, or a lot of times they would sit on the ground. But in the next slide, underneath the screen, you see all those people? There was probably as many people on the backside, under the screen, in the backgrounds, listening to this film in their language. And what really hit me was, you know, Pastor talked about all the stats we kept, how many times we showed it, and how many people came, and how many spiritual conversations and all that. But what hit me was the stats that we didn't record about how many of those people that seed was planted, that the Holy Spirit will bring somebody to water or do it himself or however he chooses to do it. And I was wondering if all those seeds, I assume there was a lot, but say there wasn't, say there was just a couple, say there was only one. If one person's eternal destiny was changed, would it be worth our carrying equipment and sleeping under a mosquito net, eating food we're not familiar with, traveling a crammed-in bus with all our stuff on top? So what I'm left with was the seeds that were planted, and I pray that the Lord of the harvest will water the seeds. So I'm here to thank you guys. Thank you for pouring into lives that you don't know, people you'll never meet this side of heaven, and maybe on the other side we will, who knows. But you guys have always supported monetarily and prayer and the missions of the church. So I want to thank you for supporting all the mission projects that we have. And starting next week, Blair will introduce our project for this giving year. So I want to thank you ahead of time for giving for this year's project. So thank you.
All right, thank you, Dick. So we have a lot more stories, so you can always talk with these men over the next days and weeks, even coffee out in the hallway, you know, just a little bit to get some more. But we talked about Pascal quite a bit. We mentioned his name. He was the missionary on the ground there that we worked with. And so we asked Pascal to just record a quick little video for our church. And so let's watch this together.
I would like to say thank you for your partnership with Campus for Christ Senegal to reach the non-people. And as I told your team here, it's a good thing to have you guys get involved in reaching the non-people that we will send north, because our vision is to have a community, Christ-centered community in each village and town in Senegal, but also beyond Senegal, because we have the solution and we need to get the solution out there with your partnership. Thank you for sending the team. Thank you for contributing also to record this Jesus film in non-language. We appreciate and thank you again.
In the meantime, I want to give you a challenge, okay? And so we're going to finish up this passage here briefly. Jesus continues in verse 37 and 38, and I want to give us the challenge of this. We need to take a gospel risk and work for Jesus in his harvest field. Not just follow him there, but just like he did with the disciples, he had them see it, and then he turned it over to them. And then he's done the same thing with us with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus uses those moments with his disciples as a teaching moment. And he says to them, you see all these people that we've visited from village to village and all the needs that there are? He says, the harvest is plentiful. And there's always more work to be done. And as we think about our trip in Senegal, even Ben shared it. We had one particular night on the Friday night. We had about an hour or so before daylight would completely fade, and our team leader said, let's go do some evangelism, went down to the beach. And for about 45 minutes to an hour, we had about three significant gospel conversations with people, just in an hour. It was amazing. The harvest is plentiful. Now, one of the stories I'll tell you about later John Jeter was the one who kicked off a conversation with this man named Tarek. Tarek's from Lebanon. And so I thought it was funny that you've got an American in John, a Canadian in me, and a Lebanese man on a beach in Senegal, and we got a chance to share the gospel. And even Tarek agreed. He said, it's as if you were sent to me. And so the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. But Jesus says the workers are few. In comparison to the harvest that needs to be brought in, there's very few workers. Those of you who are farmers, track with me for a moment. What if you had 80,000 acres of wheat? You'd be a rich farmer, or one that's really in debt, by the way. 80,000 acres of wheat, and you had 4 combines. Wow. You'd never get that harvest in. You'd never get that harvest in. And so likewise, Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful. There's 80,000 plus acres that need to be brought in, but we've only got 4 combines running. We need more people, more combines, more operators to get out there and bring in the harvest. And so I was talking to Pastor Dave Rebnack, who's done career mission work, he and his wife Carrie, and he said on this passage, he says, no matter what field I've been in, the workers are always few. They're always few. There's never a lineup at the door. We say, well, we don't need your help today. There's always work to be done. So Jesus says, what ought we to do about this? We're to pray. And not just pray, you know, like, dear Jesus, thank you for my food. But the word here for pray is to beseech the Lord in urgent intensity. Lord, send out people into your harvest field. Thrust people out of their seats. Thrust people out of their comfort zones. Thrust people out of their careers to come and work for you. It's this intense prayer. It's beseeching the Lord. Notice also the scripture says that he's the Lord of the harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. There's a sovereign God in charge of all of this. He's at work in Lebanon, in Senegal, in Findlay, in Mexico. He's at work all over across the world. He's the Lord of the harvest. We can join him in his work. So, question for us, final challenge. Will you take a gospel risk to join Jesus in his kingdom work? This conclusion that I'm going to share with you is actually sort of written together as we traveled from this town called Chez to Dakar. So this is the team speaking and challenging the entire congregation. This year we've been using the analogy of raising our spiritual temperature, or raising our outreach temperature. Remember that? And so we have this thermometer here on the screen that we can show, all the way from the snowflake to the fire. And so where are you on this thermometer? And I want to challenge us to take one step forward. So let's say you're frozen. Let's say you're a snowflake today. You've trusted Christ, but you're just not into this at all. Like, go away. In fact, I wish I had not have come to church today to hear this because it makes me uncomfortable. So how can you move from frozen to cold? Take a little bit step forward. One thing you can do is just let people know at work that you're a Christian. Come out and just let people know that you believe in Jesus. Be counted among Jesus' followers. You might be hiding that, saying, I don't want people to know, I'm still kind of... Come out. Maybe you could put your Bible on your desk at work. Maybe you could write a post-it note with a Bible verse and just somehow let people know. Okay, moving from frozen to cold. A second level of gospel risk would be go from cold to warm. You could pray with a neighbor who's going through a difficult time. You could share the gospel with a friend. You could say, could I talk to you about something that's really important to me? Or have you ever considered what happens when we leave this earth? One thing I'd love to see as a result of this message and others, I want Pastor Dave to come to me this week in tears. I want him to say, Pastor Blair, there's so many people to train. Everybody wants to know how to share the gospel. I'm just overwhelmed with the work. I want him coming to me in tears this week because so many people want to know how to share the gospel, okay? So, frozen to cold, cold to warm, how can you go from warm to hot? Perhaps you could take advantage of some of the short-term mission trips we have coming up. You heard Ben, he encouraged us to take that step of faith. Yes, there's the risk of, you know, I've got to raise some funds for that. I'm going to have to travel somewhere. I'm going to have to eat some different food probably, but we have a team going to Houston in February for a construction trip with hurricane relief. We've got a team going to Haiti. In the winter, springtime, we've got a Columbia team in October of next year. We've got a mission trip for the high schoolers going to Costa Rica next summer. can you be praying about this and moving from warm to hot? And then even, can you take a level 4 gospel risk and move from hot to on fire, and maybe even extended mission or career missions? I believe that one of the marks of a healthy church is that people, regular, normal, everyday people, feel the call of God to move out and leave a career behind and to go give their career to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, could that be you taking that risk? Again, I would commend to you speaking with Pastor Dave and his wife Carrie, who were career missionaries for about 9 years or so. Okay? So they can tell you a lot about it. But our team agreed that it's actually a bigger risk to do nothing with the gospel as a Christian than it is to give it a shot and try to share the gospel, because one day we're all going to stand before the Lord. We'll be saved, yes, but there's an accounting to give. And what if the Lord says, you never did anything with my gospel message? You kept your mouth shut the whole time and you never told anybody. I don't want to be there on that day. And so it's a bigger risk to do nothing and to stand before the Lord one day than it is to give it a shot. And you never know what wonderful rewards will come about. You've even heard these men. All of them have normal jobs, and they took a risk, made a sacrifice, and God met them in that. So the question is, what gospel risk will we take? Yes, we should pray. Yes, we should send. Yes, we should give, but we also have to go. So right here in Findlay, is there somebody that we need to take a chance and share the gospel with them? Invite them into a deeper conversation about faith. Is there another step that you want to take and go beyond Findlay? What's that gospel risk that you're going to take as a result of the Lord's command to go and make disciples of all the nations? That's what we're challenged with today from His Word. And so again, I want to reiterate what the team said. Even when we're on the trip, we very much felt like we were a representative of the Lord, yes, but of this entire church back in Findlay. So thank you for participating in gospel ministry, and then all of your support for us to be able to go and be representatives of Findlay Evangelical Free Church in Senegal. All right, so let's pray together and stand. Let's stand first of all, and then we'll pray, and we'll be dismissed. Lord God, thank you for using our little efforts to do your work. Thank you that there's believers all across this world all putting in our little efforts, and you are doing very much with them. Thank you for all the prayers. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the thoughts. Thank you for the sending. And thank you for the ability, the chance, the opportunity to go. And thank you, Lord, for our church's heart to see people won to Christ locally, nationally, and globally. And so many wonderful hearts for outreach are represented by the people here. We love you. And we thank you for sending your Son to make all of this possible. Bless each one here today, and we give you praise and glory for your greatness. In Christ's name, amen. Well, God's blessings. You are loved.